The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be on this particular Monday morning, which I believe is the last Monday in 2016. How about that? I want to say that thank you, Father God. He woke me up this morning. He woke me up early. And I almost said, okay, let me sneak in a little nap. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that because I didn't want to sleep and miss the show. But thank you, Father God, that we are here today, wherever you might be, mommy, daddy, ancestors, got an internet radio show, live your dreams, and never give up. And too, before I introduce my esteemed guest this morning, I was at a meeting earlier this last week, and two of the things that I heard that I'm sharing with you this morning. True entrepreneurs are born, and that's one of the things that I can say about my guest. And this is something that I never learned, but I'm learning it now. Understand how to play the game. How about that? But my esteemed guest, Muriel Hunter, is my guest this morning, and Ms. Hunter and I to share how we met. We met at a history-making event earlier this year, and we hit it off right away. And when she told me some of the things that she does, I said, oh, my gosh. And at that point, I didn't have my radio show, but I stayed in touch with her. And every time I talk to her, she's always got something to tell me as far as what she's done in her entrepreneurship. And today, the show is about synergy of energy, and my guest is Muriel Hunter, who has multitasked her passions and talents, turning them into specific areas of business, which is organizing / staging and dog boarding. So, is the world renowned famous organizer, staging expert, and dog boarder, Muriel Hunter, good morning. Thank you for being on my show. How you doing?
Good morning, Andrea. How you doing? and thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you, Scotty, for also providing this type of venue for entrepreneurs that are starting out, seasoned entrepreneurs that we can share from one another and glean information. So I am doing fantastic. Glad to be here. Wonderful. Glad to be anywhere in the name of Jesus.
And to wake up on a Monday morning, and it's, I know your day gets started early. So you can start wherever you want, but I know that you're a true hustler, and you work 7 days a week, because I know sometimes we talk on the phone. Said, Andre, we can only talk a couple of seconds, because I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And I want to jump through the phone and help you, but I know you do what you do as a passion. And of the organizing, staging, or the dog boarding, or wherever you want to start, if you want to go back a little further than that, if you want to start right there, which came first?
Thank you.
The chicken or the egg?
Well, I'm starting with the title of the show, which is Synergy of Energy. Synergy simply means to take two forces and put them together to make a stronger force. Therefore, that means a number of things to me. And something that I like to throw out to all entrepreneurs, it takes a minute to get going. So while you're exhibiting the energy to live off your day job, you still have to have additional energy to create this new entity in your life. So that the very, very basic is to have enough energy in your life to do double time for a while. And when I say a while, that could be a full year. So entrepreneurs, I think, should start with taking a look at themselves and seeing, am I the right person for this job? Can I make this happen? And that's what my background is in personal training. And I have a remarkable amount of energy. It's not just because of that, but I can thank God that I come from a third generation of borderline hyper people. My mom is 75, and she will work me under the table. So, you know, it's in my DNA. But I wanted to use my talents rather than work for other people. I need that security, that little security blanket. We do need to have that for a pretty decent period of time until you're established, because when you go to make a purchase and you say, I'm an entrepreneur, they have a vision of the guy standing on the street corner, you know, washing the windows as you go by. So you have to have the proof. So starting with energy, eat right, sleep right. I am up pretty much between 5 and 5:30 every day, and that's because I go to bed at 9:30, so I have enough energy to do what I have to do for my classic 16 to 18 hour days. And when you do what you love, it's not a job. It's not a job, but you need to have the strength to do it. So, you know, the basics, eat right, sleep right, learn how to de-stress. Having an entrepreneur career, it can be remarkably stressful, but there are things that are called good stress. There are certain types of stress that will help you live longer. We've only heard of bad stress, but stress can work to the good. So as long as you see production in your stress, it's not a bad thing, but you do want to have ways to de-stress. So starting with who you are, having the strength, having the energy, having the discipline, and being organized. So if you're not organized, and you really want to do this, you have the funds to make it happen, you can pay all that away. You can get someone who is organized. You can pay for someone who can do accounting. You can pay for someone who can be your administrative assistant. But until that happens, you really need to put on all those hats. You need to know how to do sales, advertising, marketing, even if it's for dog boarding, because people have to find out who you are, where you are, and why should they come to you. So I start out with the energy. Great. Next, are you the right person to be an entrepreneur? We've covered the energy and being organized, but do you have the capital? A lot of people are consumed with their day-to-day expenses and really don't have that surplus to launch their dreams. You can be a brilliant genius, but if you don't have the capital to launch your dreams, you're no different than that guy who's washing windows on the corner financially. So I want that
person. Sometimes they make good money, too. They can make good
and
money.
You know what? The right person, I have heard of people that started out doing things like that and go, hey, wait a minute, let me just, you know, organize this. And subcontract, get a few other people to wash those windows, and you're on and popping. So that's the organized part of it.
And those are entrepreneurs, whether they think so. I'm sorry. Those are entrepreneurs, whether they think they are entrepreneurs or not, or maybe many entrepreneurs, where they're just standing there, hey, can I wash your car, or can I do your windows for you? That's thinking quick on their feet, and that's a talent for entrepreneurs, especially people such as yourself, which multitask. You've got to think quick on your feet.
Exactly, and if you know how to take whatever you have, you know, whatever you enjoy doing, and make money at it, you're in good shape, because I've heard of people putting their kids through college collecting bottles. There was a couple that had been interviewed. They had 3, 4, 5 kids, and after their day job, they had a schedule of going from dumpster to, not, you know, trash cans, but huge dumpsters to dumpsters, commercial places. They made enough off of collecting bottles to put their kids through college. So tenacity, those are, you know, another one of those traits that you would like to have if you are going to be an entrepreneur. So energy, tenacity, and organization are great. But if you have an idea and you don't know how to launch it, there are so many places that you can go that help people for free. There are places you can go and pay, but again, like myself, I started out with almost no capital. So what I did was look at what my strengths are and my capabilities. And I realized that what I want to do is, I can't stand wasting money. Can't stand it. And most businesses fail. Most businesses fail in a year or two. And to be successful, you're going to have to fail a few times, because every time you allegedly fail, you know what not to do in the future. You know how to do better and better and better if you stay with it. So I've had a few. I've sold jewelry and the MLMs. That's a hard, hard lesson. Anybody out there who's done multi-level marketing, you learn a lot. It's free education, but the people on the top are the ones that actually make money. The longer you work with them, the more money they require you to invest, and you keep chasing this carrot that as soon as you get to this level, you're going to make this much money. Yes, there are some people out there that are successful at it, but I just my personal experience, I love the educational, free education. So that's one area that you research, do a lot of research with it. So when I started out...
Did you do any research before you started out?
Actually, people solicited me. That's a good sign. I always had people soliciting me, saying, oh my gosh, you would be great at this, you would be great at that, you would be... I'm like, I give it a shot, you know. So I was quite young, and I did not have the wisdom when I first started out in my MLM endeavors. So that was that. But that would be a really, really good thing to do. And now, oh, by the way, when I started, again, I was quite young, we didn't have the internet. We did not have the capabilities to research the way we can research today.
You said when somebody looked you up, obviously they looked you up more recently. Say, for example, when I gave your information to Scotty Reed, and we were confirming or just checking in this morning, he said, oh, is this the same lady that's on LinkedIn? And he mentioned what your company is that you have on LinkedIn. So
yes,
it's just a matter of putting your name out there and or with what you want to do.
Yes, I am on LinkedIn and Facebook and websites, and, you know, that's another area. You want to use every resource possible. The advertising, that's kind of sort of for the big boys. It's not for people starting out. You really want to Reserve your resources because advertising is very expensive. You need just the smallest, the three lines of ads could be $600. So you want to absolutely take your money and invest it directly into the business and see where it's going before you start spending money on things like advertising. And guerrilla marketing is the most important thing anyway. You know, just word of mouth. Your reputation is what's going to have the biggest impact on your clients. When someone who knows someone says, oh my gosh, you know, this person is amazing, then you have credibility. And that's hard. That's the tough part. Get your branding through credibility.
And I'm sure that your reputation, because as you do work for your clients, they go back and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and before you know it, your phone is ringing off the hook. You have emails coming from everywhere asking for your services, and you found a niche, and you've expounded on it, and also tying it into passions, things that you love. So would you recommend that someone do the same thing that they're, especially if they, you've heard the old saying, do what you love and the money will come?
It's been said many, many times, and that is how it works. Actually, my career's found me. But some people don't really know what they love. You know, they're so caught up in their daily life and work and family, and they're not really sure. And this is what I did. I went to the library back in the olden days. I went to the library. I started reading up on entrepreneurship, how to do what you would do best. So you do a little evaluation of your personality. Do you like to work with numbers? Do you like to work indoors, outdoors, with people, without people, and so forth? And once I looked at that, who I am and what I, my personality type, then your resources. What type of revenue do you have? It costs a little money to start up even service. So because I can't stand to waste or lose money, I decided that I would go into a service industry, therefore I wouldn't have inventory stock, I don't have to have brick and mortar, my overhead could be a virtual office, a virtual secretary, a virtual address. I had an idea of how I would be able to do the business without losing a lot of money. So if you have a product that you love, or you're an inventor, or you're a manufacturer, and you have something, it's going to cost a wee bit more capital. Therefore, 101, you start with business plan. And the business plan can be pricey, but now you can go online and get templates, and you can get things for very cheap or free. You can go to a community college and do a class almost for free. I think it's $50. Which is an investment in your business, because you want to see your own your business plan. You want to have some type of idea of the structure of what you're doing from the beginning, the middle, to the end, which the financial end is the most important part, because that goes to the bank and they have to be totally convinced that they're going to hand over all this money and there's a good chance of them getting it back. So even if you don't invest, need an investor, everybody does, but if you can't get one initially, you need to have in writing your plan of action. So a business model will kind of tell you, okay, here you are now. These are the steps you're going to take to get there, and so forth. So that's what I did. I put my business plan together. I realized I wanted to do it with the least amount of capital, because I did not want to pull money from our household. I wanted, in fact, for a full year, pretty much every dime I made, I put it back into the business to keep it going. So that's why I went into a service industry. So those are just like the very basic steps. You know, your business license, your DBA, your, you know, it's going to take a few thousand just to get you up and rolling, unless you are a .com e-commerce business, which is, you know, blowing up. But then you still have to know how to market yourself and have something that is competitive. So what's competitive about me is that I give my heart and soul. I go all the way. I start with the organizing, because that's who I am. I'm pretty organized. I'm always able to get a number of things done at one time, and I'm so time conscious. I'm always looking for a way to do whatever I'm doing the fastest and the most cost-effective way. If I'm doing dishes, I want to go, huh, how can I get this done as quickly as possible and the most cost-effective way? So that was just a very good trait to have as an entrepreneur. And that's where my organizing fell into place. When I grew up with real estate, third-generation real estate person, my grandfather had a number of properties that he bought and sold. They call it flipping now, but he would keep them for quite some time. And my mother did it, my sister did it. So I ended up being volunteered to go in and help paint and promote it and advertise it and do all of the things that a business owner would do for free. So I got my free training, but I realized that we always had these deadlines. We got to get people in, got to get them out, got to get them in, got to get them out. And as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible. Therefore, kind of started out when I was very, very young. So
I heard you I heard you say free training. In other words, with the staging and the organizing, that's called on-the-job training. Kind of, sort of, that's what you've done, on the job training. And sometimes that's the best way to do it, is on the job. You can't go to high school and get a degree, I don't think so, organizing and staging and dog grooming. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. But that sounds like the best way that you did it was you on the job training, which they used to call OJT.
Yes, well, and still do. And I would even say internship into something that you think you really, really want to do, which I thought I wanted to be a nurse, right, when I was very young. And I said, okay, great. I'll be a nurse's aide in the hospital. I'll be a nurse's assistant in-house, just to see how it goes. Oh, my God, did I save myself a ton of money? It's grueling. It's grueling work, and hats off to all the nurses out there. Oh, my gosh, I want to just cry, because they work like slaves. You know, they're far more responsible for saving a person's life and maintaining quality of life than the doctors. They write those prescriptions and tell the nurse, go do it, get it done. So they work really, really hard. And I found that out, fortunately, over a course of a couple of years, that, oh, I want to have a life. And these are extremely selfless people, because I've worked double shifts and they would still ask me to come in just for a few more hours. So therefore, I knew that was not for me, because I wanted to have a family and a life. But the organizing research that I picked up just recently, because I know that it saves a mountain of time. A lot of people get up in the morning, can't find their keys, can't find their purse, can't find their briefcase. Just the basics. Can't find their shoes, their tie, or what have you. I researched that Americans waste 9 million hours per day looking for misplaced items. How about that?
That's a lot of hours.
It is. It is, and that's precious, precious time that you could spend, you know, with your loved ones, your pets, your maintenance, your business. And over the course of the week, the month, the years, going around and around and around looking for little basic items. You know, you're in the middle of of doing a paper and you can't find your computer, you can't find your iPad, you can't find the little things that should be visible to you because not being organized. Therefore, and it's not not a scar on anyone because people have to live super multitask lives, you know, when they have more than one child and they all have school projects after school and they all go to different schools, and a gentleman may be working as well as going to school or working two jobs or having to commute forever. You really have to have that synergy of energy to maintain your day-to-day lives. Therefore, this career came to me as I was helping people prepare for moving in and moving out. I ended up getting into estate sales because I knew how to pack up everything and to be able to find it. And from estate sales, you know, one person would say, oh my gosh, you know, everything happened so quickly and efficiently. Could you do it for me? Could you do it for me? And one thing led to another because my basic roots, you know, growing up in real estate, I knew how to get things done very well, very quickly. And I'm not greedy. I'm not greedy. I will work with you. I will work within your budget. I don't have a locked price where a lot of stagers, you know, it's $900. You come in and I'll make your place look like somebody else's place. I work with a lot of seniors, people that are on a very limited income. And I say, okay, well, let's see what we have to do and what's the most important thing to you. So I want to bring that aesthetic appeal to everyone's house. Whenever I go to an office or a home, my goal is to transform it, redesign it, so it's still you. If you're rustic or, you know, relaxed or romantic, I keep it within that perimeter. If you're stylish, I'll make it tasteful and upbeat. Whatever you are, I keep it charming and cheerful or bold or bright or whatever your style is, I keep it there. There are ways to do the exact same thing for less. And I actually worked with a lady who had one room, you know, that room, that spare room that everything goes to. And she said she hadn't been able to use it for 10 years. And she had been on a really tight budget and heard about me. And she said, you know what? Let's just make this happen. I've been saving my money. It's a mess. So it was just one room, and that one room was stacked to the ceiling with furniture on the bed and just looked like a little warehouse room, a storage room. And I envisioned what needed to be done. I could see it.
That,
I could see where
people
needed
to be done.
It almost
sounds like a hoarder. It almost sounds like a hoarder.
I had a number of hoarders. A number of hoarders, which is a whole different ball of wax. But I was able
to... You charge extra for that?
Well, yeah, that's a process. It really is. But first of all, this woman had the room in disarray for 10 years. I had it organized in 2 hours.
Wow. Let me ask you this. I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is kind of an interesting question because a lot of people were finding out because there's even a show by that name.
Yes.
Once you see, do you do a consultation first, or you go in and then? Okay, so do you charge more for people that are quote unquote in a hoarder situation?
Yes, it's $99 for a consultation, particularly if that no one admits that they're a hoarder, because a lot of people don't. It is a condition, and they don't realize that they're in that condition. But those individuals have an emotional attachment to things. Usually they've had a great loss or a number of losses, and they're going to hold on to everything that represented a memory or happiness or when things were better. So that's a big job. That's a process. It could take weeks. It actually took me six months to work with one hoarder because I'd work for a week, and then it would take her 3 weeks for me, or a month for me to come back, and it could take days just to do a single room. And when we speak of hoarding, we're talking about 3 feet deep of materials that need to be sorted, organized, thrown away, or sold. And the one lady had clothes from the 1950s, and I was able to pack up in... Are you there?
Muriel, can I stop you right there? We are at the bottom of the hour. It's already been half hour. Remember, I told you it was going to go real fast. Well, I want to, we got to take a station break, but you're listening to Today's Entrepreneur, and this is your host, Andrea James. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, thank you. We are back. This is Today's Entrepreneur with your host, the one and only Andrea James. If you have any questions or comments for myself or for our esteemed guests, you can call 866-510-9025. Press the star key twice and you will be in the queue. I will recognize you. And we are with the world-renowned one and only Muriel Hunter, and she is discussing synergy of energy, how she is an entrepreneur and she multitasks. She has turned her passions into several streams of income, multiple streams of income that keep her busy 7 days a week.
Ms. James, I have a question.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Hi, thanks. Ms. Hunter, thank you again for joining us on Today's Entrepreneur. Very interesting business concept. I had never even heard of staging and organizing until I started looking up, you know, your business this morning. And I did not, never considered it. But you were just talking about hoarding. And I don't know if this is true. It's just an observation. But I think hoarding is a learned behavior. Like, for example, one of my grandfathers was a hoarder. Okay. And he kept in his room. I mean, it would be stacked to almost a ceiling of boxes of stuff like soda. He kept a lot of snacks and stuff like that. But I would consider that hoarding. I mean, it was just all, it was taking up, let's say, 80% of the space in the room. And now his granddaughter, my sister, I would call her a hoarder. I mean, she has magazines. She doesn't throw away magazines. She puts them in boxes and say they might have recipes or this or that. I got boxes sitting in a trailer we use for storage, which I'm trying to clean out, that have been in there for maybe 10 years. So that means these magazines and toys, she don't throw away toys, nothing. Now, clothes, I do understand keeping clothes, because you can reuse clothes, resell them. My daughter keeps a lot of clothes. But toys and furniture that you're not going to use, that really needs to be thrown away. So, and I kind of think she got that from her grandfather, possibly.
Scotty, it's true. And your grandfather may have been a part of the Depression, the Great Depression. And that's where a lot of hoarding kind of evolved, with food hoarding, because you said he had soda cans and things like that. When there were rations of food and food was extremely limited, once things got good, my grandfather was a part of that, although he didn't get into the hoarding. But he had a pantry, a walk-in pantry with 20 kegs of flour and sugar, and it was a store. He'd have a half a pig hanging up there, and he never wanted to be low on food. So the seniors tend to have that hoarding train, like you said, because their parents may have been a part of the Depression, and then it can perpetuate. Then there are those that may have been extremely poor and realize, I will never be poor again. And even if they couldn't buy jewelry or clothes or cars, they would have surplus food or extra of things that they don't really need. And it's a symptom. So typically, you know, just when you see someone who is holding on to things, if they've had a loss of a loved one, if they've had some type of emotional issue in their life, it can come out in hoarding. And hoarding is remarkably unhealthy. There's a lot of things that, a lot of funguses and viruses, and that's why it is much more expensive to deal with a hoarder. And I am one of those rare people that will do a room at a time. Most people look at that and go, bulldoze, you know, flat feet, but we'll work with what you have. And then they have a tough time of letting go. When you're working with a hoarder and they are in the same room, then everything is important to them. Therefore, you have to have a nice long evaluation, and you need a support system where someone can say, hey, listen, you show me what is valuable to that person. Their pictures, they may have five boxes of pictures, but that's okay. We'll keep the pictures. Let's get rid of the Coca-Cola bottle from 1975, you know, because it's not valuable, not as valuable, it's not collectible value yet. So, yeah, it's tough. Hoarding is a really difficult job, but I get so much fulfillment. I just get a rush when I walk into a place and 5 hours later, it's completely transformed and usable space. When I go into a dwelling, and it is far more common than one would think, and it can happen so easily, particularly with someone who has a lot going on in their life, whereas they'll say, oh, I'm going to get to that, and the house becomes barely livable because they're trying to keep up with everything else. You know, my kid has to go to this special class or that special class, or I'm going to keep taking these workshops or whatever it is that takes you away from that. But if you can't find what you need in your daily life, that creates stress. That's a stress that you don't need. That's not a good stress when every single day you keep going, oh, I can't find anything. You know, that's not good. So, yes, I will deal with hoarders, but I try to nip that in the bud, and we call it organizing when I will go into a dwelling that has 2 to 3 times the amount of materials that they need, and we're going to sort that out. We're going to put stuff in boxes that you want to keep. We're going to stack all that up and put names on them and labels on them and say, hey, that's either going in the garage or going off to storage. That's a third. Then there's probably a third of things that you didn't know existed that need to be in the trash. And then let's think about maybe a portion of that you could donate and give it to someone who really, really needs it. And I point that out. And some just go, oh, I bought this on my honeymoon in 1970, and my husband had it special made for me in China, and they have all this emotional attachment to it. But you can say, you know what, there's someone who could really, really use it and appreciate it, and it never even crossed their mind. So, you know, there's a percentage of things that you may be able to encourage them to give to someone else who's less fortunate. Okay, so now you've got more than 50% of that dwelling space that's usable space, functional space, and that's just for someone who's not even a hoarder. So that's something that goes hand in hand with my staging. The staging, you would have someone that would come into a dwelling, apartment, a house, whatever you want to sell, downsize, or maybe you want to do a B&B, an Airbnb, rent space out. You want that place to look generic. It can't look like Scotty's place. It can't look like Muriel's place. It can't look like Andrea's place. It's got to look like whoever's going to move in their place. So there should be nothing that's extremely personal. It should look beautiful and generic. So when I am working with realtors or independently, I don't always work with realtors. If someone is trying to sell their house, they're going to sell their house at least 50% faster. And the stats are 70% faster when people go online and they can do a virtual tour. When they go into a portal and they can see the house, they will buy that house, rent that house 70% faster. Therefore, your house could sit on the market for, say, 3 months, and you're going to have to pay out 3 months more mortgage on that. That could be going towards your new furniture or any other thing than the house just sitting. So I will go in, take all of those personal possessions, pack them up accordingly. You may even need a pod. Let's just say you know, grandpa's house has been sitting on the market and it's not moving. That's where I come in, and you may not want to pack up all the stuff, put it in storage, and then have to take it out. So then you would get a pod. That's a portable unit, a portable storage unit that sits in the driveway, by the garage, somewhere. We pack up all the old furniture, we pack up all the old stuff, and we put in a beautiful, new, basic look to that house. If you don't have the budget to completely transform the house, because it may be, you know, very, very charming and comfortable, but you may want it, you may have people that are coming in that are accustomed to something a little more upscale. So if you really want to move that house, if you're not interested in putting out months and months of income, then you would have that house transformed, emptied out, put everything in storage, in the pod, on the driveway, or in the garage if possible, and then have the house, even if it's just two rooms. You don't have to go, wow, I've got to come up with a budget to furnish an entire house. We could furnish one room. You could furnish two rooms.
Would you say that before somebody even considers, or as they're considering selling their house and moving, that as they're thinking about it, planning for it, putting it in their budget, that they need to think about putting in the budget an organizer or a stager? If they're too busy or they just don't want to, I don't know what to do. That's staging or organizing is an amount that they have to put aside in their budget.
Yes, and that can actually come out of the sale of the house too. So you know there are ways where that's incorporated into it. But when you're in the process of leaving one place, going to another place, your mind is on a dozen different things, and that's one of those things that could kind of be overlooked that will really make your life flow much smoother. So if you don't have the budget to have furniture brought in, you could have someone like myself come in and just redesign exactly what you have, get rid of all the extras, and make it beautiful. So it's definitely worth it. Is absolutely worth, in fact, some of the biggest realtors on Shark Tank promotes having your dwelling stage. Now, I'm talking about selling your house. Let's say you want a renter. Let's say you want to start an Airbnb, which is great income if you're bold enough to have strangers live with you on a weekend. You may have a standalone guest house or something of that nature. That's got to look awesome because these people may have come from you know, something that's a little more current, a little more stylish. So fresh eyes on the project would be great. the nice thing about me is that you can get an organizer and a stager in one. Those are two separate entities that are pancakes and syrup. I mean, they go together. If you don't have
the price of one.
Pretty much.
But you know what? Let me ask you this, because I'll be honest with you. You said yesterday, oh, Andrea, that would be a long time. We have about 10 minutes left. So what I need you to share with me now and our listening audience is how you incorporate the other passion that you've turned into
my
entrepreneurship, which is dogs.
Dog boarding. Okay.
You obviously have to be an animal lover first in being a dog boarder.
Yes, you do, because they're children. They're little ones. They need time and energy. I have special needs dogs. I have a dog that's blind and deaf. I have dogs with separation anxiety, anger issues. They are a little four-footed, furry people. And if you don't have the patience for them, they have accidents. I rolled up all of my Persian rugs. They're stored. I have hardwood floors and mi casa su casa. I'm not that person that has a doghouse outside. I'm a strong believer that we took them out of their environment and their life, so they're now a part of the family. The dog boarding happened, again, organically. I am that person that just about every week, but definitely every month, I scoop up a dog that's running around loose. I put him on Facebook. I call the neighbors. I keep him at my house until someone can find them. They come to me. But I call him my little agent. I had one little dog who had anger issues. And I would ask the senior, I said, you know, we'd be happy to keep them, you know, while you go get your hair done and so forth. My son really wanted another dog, and I was, you know, they were so, so sentimental. They never really got over it. And I thought, well, you know, we can keep other dogs for now until we figure out if we really want to have one. Because I grew up with 15 dogs. I had a kennel. My one dog had 12, 13 dogs, and we had a couple dogs, so I grew up with them, loved them, knew how to get up through the night and rotate the babies. And so one thing led to another, and I ended up watching the neighbor's dogs and another neighbor's dogs, because, oh my God, that dog was such a nasty little dog, mean, tiny little, I'll eat everybody dog, and I trained him. I just trained him. I taught him manners. And it just perpetuated one after another. And I thought, then I did my research. What's it like to be a dog boarder? What kind of license and liability? And what do I need to do to have this as a business? And one thing led to another. I have small dogs now because my dwelling is fairly good size, but it's personalized attention. I only have six dogs at a time, so they all get undivided attention. There are three handlers, and this is the key. When you're building your business, there's going to be ebbs and valleys, and you want to be prepared. So when one business is slow, and my organizing, and it's once a week to once a month, so I got to live in between that time, and guess what? When one business is slow, the other one's busy. Like, this is my busy time. Everybody's going off on vacations, doing what they do. It's all I can do to keep my little doggies quiet for the interview. But because I love animals, and I have help, which is awesome, I did the research, did the studying, and realized that animals get very, very anxious when they go into a commercial setting. They actually get kennel cough, even if they get the vaccinations for it. They get the anxiety because it's not a home setting. This is natural. And the people know that I will get up through the night and comfort your dog if it's crying. If your big dog, I do have a couple of big dogs, if they sleep in the bed at your house, they'll sleep in the bed at my house because I'm that person. I am that person. But, you do have to bring the papers, and they make sure they have to have, you know, no fleas, and they're vaccinated, and all of my animals have to be safe and healthy. But it would be really hard for me to say one business over another, and God is good. So I'm just going to put it out there because I know I got about 2 minutes left. I have such passion. I can hardly ever see an animal that's hungry or stray. And I'm asking you to think in terms of the scripture that says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So, and I think, what's the least but these little gods, spelled backwards, dog,
that brings friend, right?
So much joy and pleasure. Absolutely. So, you know, there's also scripture to say that, you know, you don't know when you're entertaining angels. And I almost think that these little guys are sent here just to make our lives better. Therefore, if they're, you know, for the holiday spirit, if you see a stray, just bring him in and feed him. If you know of anybody, an elderly person, someone who's lonely or by themselves, just bring in that little guy who's, you see him shivering in the cold, bring him in, feed him, help him get a home.
Miss Hunter,
I can't say enough about my little guys. So, yes, I love the animals, and I do have a boarding. I board here personally in my home. I'm in Altadena, so most people in this area will bring their pets because it's easy to get to and pick up. But if you're going on that long-term vacation and don't want to wonder and worry, will my dog get loose? Will my dog get attacked? Will my dog get the attention? I have an expert site that has oodles and oodles of recommendations. I'm also on Rover.com, which is a 15-page application with a background search attached to it. So I am a registered, certified, bona fide dog lover.
Do you have, we have just a couple of minutes
left. Miss James, I'm sorry. We did have someone earlier who entered themselves in the queue. I want to go to that person, get them opportunity to ask a quick question. We have about 3 minutes left in the broadcast. 248, did you have a question or comment you wanted to ask right quick?
Good morning. Welcome to Today's Entrepreneur.
Okay, maybe they had, well, maybe they had unmuted themselves by mistake. Please continue.
Okay. Well, Muriel, what would you tell somebody that wants to, before we do that, any contact, how can someone contact you for your organizing staging or dog boarding services?
They can contact me directly. My email address is kimudan@gmail.com. That's kimudan@gmail.com. I have a website on rover.com, rover.com. Just look for Muriel Hunter. And you can feel free to call me directly at 626-399-8639. One more time, it's 626-399-8639. And I would love to hear from you, and God bless. Thank you so much, Scotty, for having this venue, and Andrea. I really appreciate it. Sharing with you today.
Well, I've learned so much, and every time we talk and you share with me what you, the dogs that you had that day or the staging that you're doing, is, and it just, it amazes me. You're the first person that I've met personally that has pulled both of these jobs together or even doing it full time. So I commend you that you've turned your passion into entrepreneurs. But before, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on my show today, the last show in, I believe, 2016. What a way to go out and being a true entrepreneur. Are you cut out for it? And I want to say that for those who are interested in being a part of Today's Entrepreneur in the future, please text the word TALK to 323-672-4444. 4949. Text the word TALK to 323-672-4949, and you will be added to today's entrepreneur text list. Well, we're at the end of this 60 minutes of today's entrepreneur with your host, Andrea James. I want to thank my guest, Muriel Hunter. I want to thank Scotty Reed, my technical director. And in closing, I want to say there again, true entrepreneurs are born. And if you are thinking about being an entrepreneur, there are so many things that you have to consider. But don't be scared. Don't be scared. Get out there and do it, because you just never know how far you can take yourself and surround yourself with those people that know more than you do and learn from them. And on-the-job training, I say, is the best. And get paid for it while you're learning. But as we close out this morning, I want to say, breaking chains of poverty, creating bonds of prosperity, and stay in the black financially by any legal means necessary. This is your host, Andrea James, and you've tuned in to today's entrepreneur. You're not here by mistake. And 2017, I'm just getting started. So when you tune in 2017 on the 2nd of January and beyond, please have paper and pen ready, because you will want to take notes, because I am here to serve you and I want to inspire you, meaning my listening audience, with information that you can take away in being today's entrepreneur. So everyone, I appreciate you from the north, the east, the west, and the south, and we will stay in touch. Today's entrepreneur is people that run the small businesses of our country. We are the catalyst. We are the glue that keeps this universe of business going. Again, this is Andrea James and today's entrepreneur. Muriel and Scotty, I thank you for having a wonderful, informative show. And we will see you on the other side. Until next time, this is Ways to Make Money. Think outside the box, and don't be scared to be an entrepreneur. I'm Andrea James. Thank you for listening. Take care.